Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to PI Industries Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And now in the conference, over to Mr. Nishit Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on PI Industries Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Mayank Singhal, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Group Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Atul Gupta, CEO, CSM AgChem, Mr. Jagresh Rana, Global CEO of PI Ag Sciences, and Dr. Ramesh Subramanian, Global CEO of PI Health Sciences. We shall begin the call with key perspectives from Mr. Singhal. Following that, Mr. Agarwal will share his views on the company's financial performance. Thereafter, the forum will be open for question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to underline that certain statements made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature. A disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investor presentation that is available on the stock exchange websites. I would now request Mr. Singhal to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. So thank you and good afternoon to everyone for joining the call today. I want to begin with a brief view on the global agrochemical landscape. Follow that, the domestic agri environment, and then walk you through PI's operational and strategic progresses. The global crop protection market has been continuing a multi-year down cycle. Recovery remains uneven from complicated by the global events during the quarter, which has led to a clear shift towards just-in-time purchasing. The conflict in the Middle East, late February, has introduced a fresh layer of disruption that the industry was not anticipating. While the pressures are difficult, they also reinforce the strategic value for geographical diversification. The domestic backdrop is generally encouraging on the fundamentals, even though the near-term industry demand has been muted due to the elevated channel inventories, low crop prices, and incidence of rains. The rabi season was good, with increase in acreages. Structural drivers for our industry remain firm in place. The world still needs to feed growing populations, and farmers and globally are demanding solutions for a safer and more selective and more sustainable solutions. Innovators and integrated R&D-led manufacturing and forward thrust scale of execution and will be the long-term winners. Moving to our business performance for the quarter, we are continuing to demonstrate resilience underpinned by the breadth of our portfolio and depth of our customer relationship. More importantly, we believe the investments made over the 4 years and we continue to make have a meaningful strength of PI's long-term position to differentiate and move it into the next orbit. Our consolidated revenue for the full year has delivered a $67.137 million with healthy EBITDA margins of 25% and cash and balance sheet of $34,275 million, enabling the company to pursue further strategic investments for long-term sustainable growth. Our pharma business delivered a 40% growth for the full year. We'll continue to strengthen customer engagement and innovators. Biotech companies will be investing in capabilities across process development, regulatory frameworks. We believe it represents strategic importance for long-term growth platforms, leveraging our deep chemistry capabilities, integrated facility between India and EU, and the operating model of strong innovation expertise. Let me now draw your attention to the biologicals, which has been our passion for over 2 decades, during which we have built one of the most comprehensive biological portfolios for the Indian market. Over the past 2 decades, the business has emerged as one of the fastest growing segments of our portfolio, compounding over 20%. Our acquisition of a differentiated technology platform has given us a global market access and advanced R&D capabilities for significantly accelerating our growth ambitions globally. We believe our technology has the potential to generate to address the next generation crop health and protection for sustainable agriculture solutions. On sustainability, we have maintained our position as S&P Global Yearbook again and our most recent S&P Global CSA percentile has improved to 98 percentile, placing us firmly in the top-rated chemical companies in the world. I want to now focus at defining Platform PI over the coming decades. Our in-house chemical entity program, a discovery platform, our first NC action approach, Discover India, now is coming to the market soon, demonstrating our ability to invent at a global scale and take innovation from India to the world. We believe this is a major shift in the way PI will way for to global scale manufacturing from a distributor to reposition itself as a global innovator backbone strength and partner across the value chain and turn ourselves into a life science company. We expect in 27 to deliver growth with exports and global biological sections backed by customer momentum as well as domestic business is expected to gain from the new brand launches. Today, we have chance to move into the next orbit, into a more innovative mindset and a life science cycle building from CRD platforms, electronic chemicals and operating growth across multiple lines. Our growth will continue to support strong balance sheet, technological capabilities and powered by science-driven platforms with deep-rooted relationships with customers and strong understanding of the global work culture. Before I conclude, I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the decade-long contribution of our Joint Managing Director, Rajneesh Tanna, who has been a critical part in shaping and supporting PI. He has stepped down from his executive responsibilities, including IR, to focus his health, which will continue to be associated, while he will continue to be associated with PI as non-executive director of the board. I would love to also take this opportunity to thank him from the PI management and the board and all the family of PI for the great commitment, dedication, and the contribution that he's made in building PI over the last 3 decades. But going forward, I would like to make it clear that our group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, will continue to actively engage with the investor community and ensure continuity and communication at strategic engagements. Am I always there to support in any of those challenges? With that, now I hand it over to Sanjay and take it through the financial performance details. So Sanjay, over to you, and thank you once again, all of you, and to Rajneesh for being an excellent part of supporting the company. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Mayank, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll summarize the company's financial performance for the quarter ending March 31st, 2026, and for the full year FY26. FY26, as Mayank mentioned, it has not been easy for AgChem sector. However, we have been backed by a strong business model and hence navigated this near-term industry cycle. We have also taken several initiatives proactively to work with our global AgChem customers, and we believe the sector is transitioning out of down cycle. For quarter 4 FY26, we reported a revenue of 15,652 million, delivering sequential growth as per our guidance last quarter. On a full year basis, the revenue is 67,137 million, delivering a growth on a 3-year CAGR. Decline in AgChem exports is primarily driven by lower volumes, reflecting the broader global industry contraction and customer delivery schedules. We have commercialized 5 new molecules in AgChem exports and launched 4 new products in domestic agri brands. New brands now contribute around 18% of AgChem exports, highlighting a focused de-risking strategy and innovation-led approach. Domestic agrochemical demand remained being impacted due to channel inventory, pricing pressure, delay in the regulatory transitions of biological portfolio, and lower crop acreages impacting key crops of PI. However, we expect this growth momentum to now pick up with a stronger kharif season. Our domestic business is supported by a strong product portfolio, new product launches, and focus on several on-ground initiatives led by technology and farmer engagements. This year, we launched 4 new products, 3 in the herbicides, 1 in the insecticide. On a farmer platform, we delivered 40% growth in revenue for the full year, driven by building strategic customers and our relentless effort to continue building capability to build a differentiated CRDMO model. Global Biologicals also continue to progress with ongoing investments in market and product development, focus on innovation and strengthening R&D capabilities in US and in India. Our gross margins for the full year as well as for the quarter stood at 58%, supported by a favorable product mix and strong operational efficiencies. Further, at the EBITDA level, we delivered what we committed at the start of the year, a resilient margin of 25% for the full year. While the ETR for the quarter has risen due to higher non-SEZ sales, on a full year basis, the ETR for FY26 remains at around 22%. We expect FY27 and thereafter ETR to be in the range of around 23 to 24%. We have sustained our trade working capital in terms of days of sales at 139 days, despite the volatility in the overall market. Our strong debt-free balance sheet, supported with net cash of rupees 34 billion, provides strong resilience and flexibility for strategic investments. In addition, we have successfully implemented SAP S/4HANA, which marks a key milestone in our digital transformation journey, strengthening our operational backbone, enhancing data visibility, and enabling future scalable growth with improved governance. As we see opportunities in FY27, we expect a positive growth in FY27, supported by new product launches, especially our first homegrown NC in the domestic business, and our pharma and biologicals continue to scale up. With this, I conclude my opening remarks. I'll now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. My question is on the CapEx that you have incurred over the last 3 years, which translates to almost like a 2600 crore of CapEx, but we are not seeing a conversion of this CapEx into the revenues for the last 2 years. And for that reason, the asset turns, which used to be almost like 2.5x, they have dropped down to almost like 1.5 now. So wanted to understand where this CapEx is being directed to, and you know, some sense in terms of how much of it is being focused toward the legacy projects and the new projects, and when do you expect this CapEx to be translating into the revenues?
So I think that's quite a question as well. The point is that if you look at these asset investments are done for a multi-year ramp up, both in capacity and scale of manufacturing. Some of these investments have been in the software arena, the technology, NCEs, and new business arenas, which have a long registration, and some of them are coming off color in the coming year and the next couple of years. So that's really where I would answer that from a contextual point of view. Yeah.
But generally, I thought the gestation period used to be pretty short, right? We used to set up a plant in 8 to 9 months, and then it used to start to flow into the revenues. Now this gestation period seems to be kind of widening. And 2600 crore, how much of that would be spent onto the R&D and technology development, and how much on, you know, actual steel on the ground?
Yes, but the ramp-up doesn't happen over 1 year, as you would appreciate. You know, if the eventual new molecule capacities are at X, which are to a maturity of 5 years, you build the plant. The ramp-up typically takes 4 to 5 years to do that, yeah? And plus the distribution in the newer arenas of innovation, which have been over the last... So if you were to take an example, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think Sujay can get that back later. The arena, we've been doing the regulatory investments to take the new molecules into the markets, that comes with a price tag, and those are also investments. We're building the new pharma capabilities and assets to create offering for tomorrow. So that's really the split today. So obviously the present moment you see that, but also the industry cycle of the demand have been lower, as you would say, occupation less. But fundamentally the new products are in, at some point with maybe a delayed gestation would shape up. Yeah.
Okay, sure. I have other questions, but I prefer to get back into the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tejas Pradhan from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. For full year FY26, could you give a sense on what the growth would be for excluding your largest product in agro CSM business?
So if I get your question right, for last year, besides the new molecules, the new product growth rate.
Yeah. So as you know, with all the new molecules we've been launching, they contribute now around 18 to 20% of our total portfolio, and they also have been growing at a faster clip in the overall portfolio. So while there the revenues are declined because of the overall challenges we know, but the new molecules, they have been shaping well and contributing incrementally to a margin profile.
Okay. So just apart from the new molecules, even the existing molecules which you would have launched prior to that, right? So if we just strip out the impact of the largest product, Paroxysulfone, excluding that, would there have been growth in FY26 in CSM exports, or that would have been a YOY decline?
Well, if you look at the other lines of biologicals, new molecules, yes, there's growth, but expected growth rates which were to be there given the external environmental situation and the agriculture scenario, they have not kept pace. But, I mean, eventually they're going to come up to shape. That's what we see from our global partners' communication and understanding. Yeah?
Okay, understood. And secondly, on the contract assets, now we have seen a reduction from 1,000 crores as of December 25 to 700 crores as of March 26. Now, while that has reduced, on a YOY basis, it is still higher. I think in March 25, it was around 400 crores, right? So would we expect further reduction over here to FY25 year-ending levels? And how should we look at this number on a steady-state basis? What sort of level do you target over here?
Well, I would say that if there's a margin, huge reduction, about 30-35%, as you would have seen in this year from the last quarter, this subject to asset utilization, to value of product in the pipeline, and long chain of products. So I would say this will remain hover around the same level, given where the business model and structures are today.
Okay, thanks. And just one more if I could squeeze in. Would you have a sense on, would you be able to share what the capacity utilization would be at a company level for FY26?
Yeah, the FY26 is below 80.
Bit below 80, okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just one question on the margins. I think I can see over the last couple of quarters and for much of fiscal 26, you've been able to maintain your gross margins at a very healthy level of, 58 to 59%. But for the last couple of quarters, at least on the EBITDA side, we've seen a bit of compression going back to the 22% mark, whereas we started the year with a 27-28% margin profile. Just going into fiscal 27, if you could just give us some sense of, how should we think about margin profiles, both on the gross margin level and the EBITDA margin level?
So if I look going forward, we'll continue to focus on maintaining the gross margins, right? But obviously, the volatility quarter to quarter could be different, but the average gross margin that we looked at, that's a strategic focus to continue to manage this present environment.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but we were not able to hear you. Can you repeat the last 1 second, please?
I said we are not, the quarter-to-quarter volatility as it continues, but if you look at the average gross margins for last year, we continue to focus to maintain the gross margin at that level, as indicated earlier.
Sure, sir. And the EBITDA margin would be a similar comment?
You see, given the present environment, the volatility of the various multiple factors, whether it's input costs or whether it's other cost structures and other challenges, I would say our target is always to say that how we can continue to manage them and beat them better. But it would be very difficult to give a specific answer today to say where would they be. But yeah, as the company continues to manage that, because while making sure that we don't compromise on our long-term trajectory and a continued focus to look at market share and growth. Yeah.
Sure, sir, that's clear. And if I could just squeeze in one more clarification. In the opening remarks, when you mentioned you're looking at positive growth in fiscal 27, would that be positive revenue growth or positive earnings growth?
Well, clearly we're looking at revenue growth as one of the key drivers for this positive growth going forward, yeah?
Sure, sir, that's clear. I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So in our PPT, we have indicated that we have received regulatory approval for a launch of a nematode in US. So what is the kind of scale-up that we are expecting over the next maybe 3 to 5 years? And is it a biological or a synthetic one? Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't get your question. What was your question, sir? It was not very clear. Can you repeat, please?
Yeah, so we have received regulatory approvals for the launch of a nematode in US. That's what we have indicated in our PPT. Is it a biological? And what is the kind of market size that we are tapping, or in terms of this particular product, what is the kind of potential revenues that we can generate over the next maybe 3 to 5 years?
So I think I will take this as first, and maybe Jagresh can fit me in there.
Yeah.
Yes, it is the launch of a new biological nematode, and it's the first time a new biological nematode is coming in the market at a scale. I think the growth rates, at least you can look at what you're doing to evaluate. I mean, maybe you can give a better fit in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And hi, hey, thank you for asking this. So this is, you know, based on the performance we have seen, this kind of a very unique biological nematode product. Most of the nematode products which are there in the world today, they are mainly applied in the soil. Today, there is hardly any nematode product which can be a foliar application. So first of all, this is the first time that we have introduced a product in the market which is a foliar application based. Second part basically in this is that this product, the nematode market overall globally, especially in Brazil, US in these markets, has been growing very rapidly. And more farmers are realizing the problems of nematode. We are expecting a significant growth from this product. We have, US is the third market. We have already launched it in Brazil and Mexico. US is the third market. Where we have launched in Brazil, we are basically seeing this year that we should be almost more than tripling our sales for this particular product. It's a product which competes very well with the synthetic chemistry product, and we are seeing some very positive results and good performance from the farmer side.
Only one caveat I will put, we are still in the early stage of developing a product, farmer acceptance to biologicals.
Yes.
But what we, I think what Jagresh is saying, they're very positive about what we see, and I think it will take a couple of years to establish a product. But the results are very encouraging and gives us a huge capability to say, yes, we need to invest to build the markets, and the investments would be an aggressive approach to build this product.
Yeah.
Sure, that's helpful. So second question in terms of CSM business. So last year we had indicated FY25, the contributions from new products was about 15 to 18%, and this year we have said FY26, the contribution is about 18 to 20%. If I do the math, it seems that on a year-on-year basis, the new product absolute revenue seems to be flattish or slightly negative. So how do we look at it from the FY27 perspective?
You're right. You see, as you can very well understand, the global agriculture market scenario itself is challenging. And you can see that in the performance of the large company trying to put new products, customer expectation, acceptance due to commodity prices. Clearly, as the situation is very volatile, but we do see this becoming a bit better, right? And I think fundamentally the whole agriculture cycle has to pick back, and innovation could get adopted at a much faster rate. So we see that to be looking a little bit more positive. And as you would have seen our commentary over last year, there were challenges in the market, and what was expected to turn around, and our companies were looking second quarter, half second half, but still not come around, but hopefully things shape up in the right direction, we will see a better number coming from here. That's really where I would put that stop. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Sir, just last one I'm squeezing in. On our novel NC molecule, pioxaniliprole, we plan to launch in the Indian market. What about the global launch? Are we expecting any kind of out-licensing for the same? And what could be the guidelines for the same? Thank you.
Yes, so right now for the global markets, we're working in a couple of global geographies where we will be looking to find regulatory. Each geography has different requirements, regulatory requirements, local and global. So we'll be looking to put in application for filing probably at the end of this year or next year. And then we'll be going to the regulatory framework and we'll be looking at strategic partnerships and we'll announce them at the right level when we come to the right point of decisions for them. Yeah. The first point today is at the global level, then the regulatory framework.
Perfect. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're audible.
Hello. Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my questions are centered around the electronic chemical basket. So typically, we have mentioned in the previous call about, you know, commercializing about 4 to 5 molecules. So if you could share some details in terms of the molecules, what kind of revenue contribution, what kind of end application each of these molecules are supposed to serve, and what kind of customer sets we have been talking about, both between Japanese and the non-Japanese. That is my first question.
And understanding, as you would have seen that in the past in the PI commentaries of handling innovation. We are working on some new innovative ideas with companies, and as you would say, they are right now at the ramp up stage, the electronic chemicals. They are not a significant portion of the company's top line, but what is an indicator that we are very strongly working in that area, and once we scale up, we'll have the right answers. But to give into specific, their niche applications, and they are unique in that in their offerings, and that's the area which we are always operating. Yeah.
Sure. And sir, if you could share some kind of, you know, typically what can be the size of this segment of our electronic chemicals, say next 2-3 years? Can this be a 1,000 crore business in next 3 years?
Well, I don't know about 3 years, but yes, certainly with time we will definitely look at that. That is our target. We would love to do that, as you stated earlier last year. We have looked at saying, yes, we're looking to target about 100 million in the next 4 to 5 years in this segment.
Mm-hmm. Last bit. So when do we expect the pharma to turn EBITDA positive?
The pharma revenues are, as you can say today, as you've seen the global situation, the CRDMO play is a very, what you call, swing in and swing out play. We are right now very confident that we're looking at certain interesting opportunities in some part of the value chains, which should fructify with time. Obviously, the investment mindsets are shifting. As we see these things move, and as we've stated earlier, achieving a 500-600 sort of top line is when you would see these things move into a positive phase. This could be a couple of years, if not a little bit more than that, to get to that space. Yeah. But right now, the company is more focused in building capabilities, offerings, and building customer confidence. To look at their value delivery. That's really where we are.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on in the overall pricing environment. Given the volatility in raw material prices of late and, you know, the pressure from, you know, Chinese-led, you know, the global pressure there on the chem cycle as a whole, is there any significant pricing correction or pressure that we are seeing across, you know, our portfolio? And second bit, one clarification there, the 5-odd% realization decline in our exports that we are, you know, seeing, is it more a product mix issue or it's a RM deflation or some pricing correction there?
So if I was to answer, there are pricing corrections, there is currency deviation, as you know, we have passed through models. Yes, we are seeing volatility in the raw material prices and they've had some impact, but there's a balancing act with the companies playing in this volatile market while supporting customers, looking at end customer challenges to ensure that we have a sustainable growth and continue to put high utilization of our delivery plans while focusing on managing across margins. So, as you would very much understand, I can't give you a straight answer because nobody seems to have a straight answer in this very volatile market. Oil is swinging like a yo-yo. Raw materials swing like a yo-yo, tomorrow yes, tomorrow no. But the outcome today is yes, there's an impact. We are focusing on those impacts. We're looking to how to create the value extraction in the company. And the company has a very strong focus to say how we can optimize and maximize, taking consideration from customer to suppliers. Yeah.
Sure. So, okay, let me put it this way. Our focus here will remain on volume growth for our existing as well as newer products, or we will prefer to have a balanced approach in terms of margin as well?
Well, our focus today would be to continue to hold the market share in volume because the margin could always return back when the market swings. That's typically our business focus, right? Given the volatility that we see. And that does not mean that the margin will not come, but that could also, but they are more volatile in nature right now, as you would understand. Yeah?
Sure, that's helpful. And just one clarification, if I may ask. The electronic chemicals or the, you know, the newer areas where we are expanding into, these will be large, the capex for them, these will be largely MPP based, or there will be some dedicated capacity coming in, or which is already there in our books?
So again, these are niche chemicals, they will be multi-purpose assets with and some may be specialized assets, right? Because we're not in the commodity end of the electronic chemical. We're more focused on niche and complex areas of operation delivery.
Sure, Mike. That's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddharth from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So on the pharma business, could you just share your thoughts in terms of growth and profitability over the next 2-3 years? How should we see this business scaling up?
As I think I mentioned to the earlier question, was exactly that we are looking right now to build those capabilities in the next 2-3 years. As I said, the EBITDA where we would be able to look at 500-600 crore top lines, we should be able to move into that phase. And as you would very well understand, being the CDMO play, you know, it takes a long time to build the foundation, but then you start seeing an accelerated curve, which moves fast because the entry barriers and the regulatory frameworks followed with early stage products, you start targeting, and when the cycle picks up, it takes a J curve. That's really the approach that we're seeing. So I see that in the next 2-3 years to start showing some early shifts. Yeah.
So secondly, on the global biologics business, given that now we have started getting product registrations and also building a distribution model across geographies, how should one think about the OPEX in this business and when do we achieve a scale where we break even in this business?
Again, I would say the way to answer this, what we are seeing, as I think Jagdish mentioned earlier, we're seeing the project positive trajectory. And you would see the markets itself are depressed within the agri sector. We are clearly seeing a great acceptance of our technology and product performance. And I would say we are very much positive to see that in the next couple of years, we should be in the position that you're looking to achieve for ourselves, as you rightly questioned, to get into a heat-breaking Again, if you see more opportunities of more innovations, we'll be investing, and we will not do that without a value add. So we are definitely very excited to what we see. But a couple of years from now, doesn't look too far from us to be playing that game.
And lastly, for FY27, in terms of any, we would have any higher OPEX in terms of any large registrations or any other one-time costs that would be coming in our P&L, given that we are looking at commercializing a few products?
Yeah, so this is an ongoing thing which we have been, since we've been investing into R&D and we are looking at these new NCs. So this has been continuing for the last few years and the same trend will continue of 50-100 crores of additional spends which go...
I think his question was next year.
Yeah, next year, FY27 as well. We'll have similar expenses for the R&D and also for the launch. Since we're looking at the pyroclinical launch this year, we'll have some additional cost in the next few quarters on that.
And for the global products also, we would have additional cost coming in?
Yes, clearly. I think the question very to be very precise to your answer. Next year is going to be heavy investments in building out markets. So those costs will be there.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surya from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the investment priorities going ahead. And what is the kind of a CapEx? In terms of the investment priorities, I just wanted to understand any specific investment that we are talking about, the new business opportunities.
So these would be CapEx we've guided in the past also. So we should have 700 to 800 crores of CapEx this year as well. Again, to fill in, build in new capabilities, both at the manufacturing level, some of the new launches which we are going to be having, R&D spends which we are going to have, and across both pharma and our agrochemical business.
Okay. And also to have better understanding about the kind of incremental contribution that we should be seeing from the newer business area, is it possible to discuss what is the kind of a construct of order book position currently in terms of the areas, whether it is agrochem, pharma, and whichever newer area that we are talking about?
Well, we don't have a specific year for new areas, but I think somewhere around 1.2 billion, which is already the order book position, which continues to hold on. Yeah, but we won't have a specific breakup of those right now. Because typically the other businesses are more B2C, like the biologicals and all, there's no order book situation there. And pharma is too insignificant in terms of the top line of PI and the other numbers of order books. Yeah.
So, sir. Then next question would be on the supply chain constraints. Let's see, you have mentioned about maintaining the gross margin situation for the full year, FY27. But if you can say something, what is the kind of availability situation and what is the kind of impact that possibly in the near term that we can see because of the availability of raw materials? Whether that's a big challenge at this juncture?
You have got me exactly. So I think it's one of the most simple question with the most difficult answer maybe, or difficult answer with a simple question. Yes, you know very well, as you all we know, we are all challenged with that availability, and that's not something in our hand. But so far we've been able to manage and we'll continue to manage, but we never know when the situation changes the way the world is today, right? And I'm sure that's applicable to most of us in the sector and the industry. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the
Thank you. Next question is from Lan Sumit Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. My question regarding pharma segment, and you have mentioned in the PPT a significant increase in CDMO inquiries. How is the conversion is going to happen considering all the inquiries you have? Number one. Number two, I have seen in the PPT your services business has increased significantly. So what is leading this business, and also you are adding new customers in the last 12 months. So considering all these factors, next 2 to 3 years, how much growth you are expecting in the segment?
I think we just answered that earlier. Yes, as you know, we are trying to have CDMO. The success rate is moving to 2 years. New customers, new avenues have been opened. Really, as mentioned, we're looking at 500 to 600
cars. Sir, sorry to interrupt you. Your audio is not clear.
As we mentioned earlier, right, and that there is all these initiatives which have been taken. We are looking to target to get this in the next 2 to 3 years, yeah? Or 500-600 crore business, which could then become the J-curve approach to look at how we can look at more expected growth going forward.
And for the outlook perspective, you have written we remain positive for the growth in FY27. So any number can we talk on a double digit, lower double digit, mid-teens kind of growth we are expecting in FY27?
I would say yes, growth for sure. Double or late single will all be subjected to how the world reacts. Yes. And that's
so normal case scenario? Normal case scenario?
I can't look at the normal case scenario right now because the quarter is gone, so it's too close to the quarter to answer that. But yes, I can say we can definitely look at growth, my friend, at a later stage or nearly late stage single digit or early stage double digit at the worst case scenario. Oh. And the things take time.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, the worst case we will have definitely have some growth, I hope, because we, and if it really goes that way, there's no oil and there's no fuel and there's no food, then we can't do much, right? So today's world to answer that is challenging, but we have plans for growth in a rather aggressive pace compared to the competition.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Mahindra. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my questions. The 1100 crore capex that we incurred for FY26, sir, would it be possible to just break down the specific key projects in which this investment has gone?
Yeah, so it's across both the agrochemical, pharma, and the R&D spends which we have done. So we were about to commercialize Aquilola facility in Lodi plant. So that has taken substantial sum, plus the MPP, one of the MPP in the flow, which we have commercialized during this year. So the spends have been there on the agrochemical side. And then the last is on the R&D investments, which we have been doing.
Okay. But just to clarify, the presentation says pharma capex was about 91 crores for the year.
Correct. 100 crores.
So, yeah, so then should we understand that the remaining, you know, say 1,000 crores or so is all agrochemicals, or how is it?
Agrochemical and then the R&D spend.
And the fine chemical area that we're talking about.
That will include all the electronic chemicals, agrochemical, the R&D, fine chemicals.
Right. Okay. R&D is, sorry, just to clarify, fine chemicals, any specific plant that's been put up, or it's part of the MPP itself?
Yeah, it's one of the MPPs which was getting commercialized, as you mentioned earlier, if you would note.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Second one, for plant healthcare, would it be possible to just quantify the revenues for FY26?
So they have been in the range around $12-13 million.
Understood. And, sorry, I might have missed this earlier, so please excuse me if I did, but on contract assets of 700 crores, what's the kind of trajectory we are expecting in the year ahead? I mean, will it decrease further, or by how much?
Well, I think that's the range we've always been in the last few quarters, given the business model and scenario, balance of capacity, inventory, and customer needs, and also looking at the volatility of supply chains, we would look at keeping it at that level.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rupesh from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. First, I have one request. I mean, one of your largest product in the CSM segment, I mean, there are patent risks. It's nothing new. Most of the CDMOs or CSM companies have to deal with it. What would be really nice is if you can address that question in your press release in some way. That I think would be really appreciated, because there are so many layers to that molecule. So that is my request. The first question, sir, is on that molecule. Do you see sort of like a gradual decline over the next 2-3 years and then bottoming out, or do you expect like a cliff that we will see only in that molecule? I'm not asking about the rest of the business. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to answer that. Number one, you need to appreciate that this is not our molecule, it's a partnership. Revealing strategies would be a challenging scenario in today's context. We are in a highly competitive world, and as you would, I would like to look and model this through the approaches that you've seen for any other product that goes into genericization in the sector.
Okay. The second question, sir, is for electronic chemical business. What is our current gross block, and what kind of gross block do you expect in next 2-3 years?
We will be making another few hundred crore investments in that area. Again, that's a new avenue of growth. So new assets and plants will be built up. As we continue to see that we want to scale this business up, we have got 4 to 5 products in the pipe which are working well. We are looking to develop more strategic areas into this. So investments of the gross block will be going up in this area, and then over the next 5 years, we start seeing turns of the volumes and revenues that we plan to achieve.
But sir, is that number like 200 crore, 500 crore, 1000 crore? What kind of asset turn? Any range would be helpful.
Anything substantial of that area, 500 crore is a number which we would really look at. 100, 200 is not a significant investment as you would appreciate in the plant today.
And asset turn would be high or low? Some idea around that.
It would be difficult to answer today because you're right now investing to build the business. The asset turns, as you would see in the CSM business, the early stages have lower asset turns. But business, when it touches mature, reaches a scale, you will start seeing those colors. Yeah.
Okay. And then the final question, sir, is on the NC molecule. In the NC molecule, I mean, for the life of a patent, right? Let's say 15 years, sort of. I mean, what kind of potential? I know it's a very dynamic world. There's so much hard work you have to do, find partners and all that. But what kind of potential can it be for the company of our size? I mean, today we are at, let's say, 8,000 crore the revenue scale. Would it be significant for our scale, or it would be, you know, 10% kind of scale? I mean, some range there would be very helpful in terms of potential over the life of the patent.
Significant or not significant, I think we are pretty calm. We are pretty gung-ho to bring an innovation out. I think the year of launch and the first season of launch will give us the impact at the largest scale to look at the significance. I think the most important significance that needs to be noted is taking an innovation, commercializing. I don't think a single company from India has done that. And it's probably the first company in any chemical sector to do that. So that's the benchmark of putting our capability take from discovery to markets. And rest assured, it has to be of a significant number for us to invest and build. Followed with that learning, we will have an understanding from the season that we go, and we'll be in a better position to answer. And we're also looking at this as a capability build-out for more new things from the pipeline to come. So that's the way I would look at that, the shift to the PI capability mindset from a distribution company to a manufacturing for innovation, not take innovation to the markets. So that's really what is the ability which is coming through. Once this is demonstrated well with this product, it gives us hope to build a lot more for the next multi-decades, multi-years, if I was to say, to bring innovation to the market. This is the significance of this product. The number significance of the revenue, yes, it should be good contribution to the top line for the domestic business to start with. Based on some of our learnings for the season or two, we'll be in a better estimate to look at the potential sizing of the product. Yeah.
Okay. I hope at some point of time you give some preview into the upcoming NC molecules, sir. I do hope that, and all the rest.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Aram Arvind from iPod PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, we can
hear you. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question has to do a bit with the client that we are serving for our biggest molecule. So since they have come up with the guidance of their formulation in which they use our molecule, they have come up with the guidance of beating their conservative guidance of full year of last year. And so I'm just trying to understand if our shipments to this client of ours is going to get better in the upcoming quarters. So basically what I'm trying to understand is if we will have growth on our AgChem export sector, which is dominated by one single molecule, do we see traction in that molecule going forward? Will we see volumes picking up in that molecule specifically for the next couple of quarters?
Well, I would look at the way you looked at that customer and follow that guidance. From our perspective, when contract manufacturing, so what we are building in is already what we have contracted. As you would appreciate, the supply chains are long. Clearly, it will be too early for us to answer and to let guidance to say how we see that. But clearly, yes, if they do benefit, it will see the reciprocating benefit with time. Yeah.
Right. Just to follow up on that, since I know we've addressed about the contract assets already on the call, but we've seen a reduction of contract assets going from Q3 of FY26 to Q4 of FY26. So does this mean that our clients are actually, so we're basically billing our clients and they're actually drawing up on the reserves of our contract assets. So would we see this trend moving forward, let's say by Q1 27, Q2 and Q3 27?
I would say there's a bad level of inventory which is always kept. There will be high level kept given the volatility, as you could appreciate in the world. We are looking to keep and build and optimize capacities so there's no point of runouts, right? So that's how we're looking at it, right? And I think given the scale and the complexity of the value chain of production, contract assets below 500-700 crores would be a challenging number to manage that risk.
So any number that we can probably close on the contract assets for 27?
We will, as I mentioned, we'll be remaining within this range for what we estimate for today. It could shift from a quarter-to-quarter basis.
Right, and another question just on the electronic chemicals side. So what is the approximate revenue figure that you can give us for the electronic chemicals for FY26 and any guidance for 27 and 28 as well? Because some of your clients have been talking about the end market tripling by FY30. So I think there's a lot of traction in these molecules that PI is entering into, and I'm just trying to understand the whole market for these electronic chemicals and the numbers from your side for guidance.
So, to be honest, to tell you, we are right now in the early stage. The numbers are not significant for the PI top line. With the development stage of some of these products, we're building capacities and understanding and capabilities for the customer. In 2 to 3 years, we will be in a better position to understand the scale and size. As you would understand, these are very serious level of confidentiality with our customers and confidentiality contracts, given highly competitive environment of the space. But we are excited and gung-ho about it, given the facts, the areas that we are operating are in the niche space. And as these are like light, it says we have mentioned 4 to 5 products which we are evaluating, developing. They have gone into the various phases which we will look at a manufacturing scale at a later date. Yeah.
Right, so for it to have, let's say, a significant contribution, like let's say how pharma is having in our business right now.
So
see those kind of numbers.
In 5-6 years, we've estimated about $800 million of revenues in the space.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that. And any commentary on gross margin guidance for 27?
So I think as well, earlier questioned by a couple of others, we said we continuing to manage and maintain the gross average gross margin of last year.
All right, sir. All right. That will be all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. PI has spent more than a decade discussing adjacencies like pharma, electronic chemicals, life sciences, yet agrochemicals still remain the dominant economic engine of the company, and we have been discussing why so. So as on today, from management's perspective, was the original assumption that PI's process chemistry and customer trust advantages would automatically transfer more easily across domains than they actually did? And what has been the single biggest unexpected challenge in building meaningful non-agro scale? That's my first question. Thank you.
So I'm not very sure about whether you're talking about a decade, but we made these investments over the last 2-3 years. Clearly, agrochemicals are bread and butter, so adjacencies we got into discovery, you're not only manufacturing. Adjacencies have been only evaluated in the manufacturing space. And I think if you look at back at the history of PI, even in the manufacturing, contract manufacturing, it took about 10 to 12 years before a significant impact on numbers could be seen in the past, the early 2000s. So that's what it really is when you're getting into the innovative phase. You can completely understand CRDMO. A product doesn't get into a manufacturing playing pharma at least for 5 to 6 years of impactful numbers, right? So that's really how we're looking at it. Same in the electronics, we've invested them over the last 3 to 4 years. We're seeing products, there are scale-up, we are seeing investments that we're making, so there will be time. So I don't know whether I would say that this is a concern for us, but this is something which we see working well, but in the strategies of the chosen play, we also have a differentiated play, not just the large-scale commodity play in the other agencies. Yes, there are challenges, from the sectors. Especially in the pharma sector, there has been challenges in external environment investments, biotech startups, reduction in that space. So the aggressiveness in which it was supposed to be approached has become one challenge. So investment, but now I see that sector picking back up, so we could see those scales come up. Yeah?
Sure, sure. That's helpful. I was actually alluding to the 2012 annual report, but anyway, I mean, what has PI learned so far about the difference between scaling AgChem CDMO versus scaling pharma CRDMO, and what capabilities still need to be built before PI can genuinely compete with established pharma synthesis leaders on innovation depth, not just chemistry execution? Thank you.
Yeah, so if you see the investor deck, we have looked at the biological offering capabilities which have been invested. We started working in that. We are looking for the investment in the KSM material impacts. We have a GMP facility we need to be further built for CDMO. Our Kilo labs are going to be fired up in this year, which is going to create pipeline for the future. So I believe in the next year or two, number one, you can't build all the capabilities of the offerings. So we are looking at capabilities which we need to have, which we can differentiate. Two, areas where we want to partner, so we can become a full integrated partner for a pharma biotech startup to a company with strong manufacturing in a regulated and an unregulated environment. So I believe in the next couple of years, we'll be in a pretty good, unique, competitive position with best of class assets to play this game well.
Wonderful. Wish you all the very best, Mank and team. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Archit, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, I just had one question. Would it be fair to assume that the current AgChem market is tilting more towards generics than that of patented products? And if you could also allude as to why would this be happening? Would there be some stress on the farm economics level, or is it the farm demand that is going through a rough patch? So any thoughts on that would be quite helpful.
Yes, I think that's a good analogy if you were to pick it up. If you look at, to be very honest, the commodity prices are not moving. Fertilizer prices on the other side are high. The input cost of the farmer is going. Agrochemicals are becoming a necessity, so he's looking at cheap solutions right now. But there are positions and openings for the opportunities in certain sectors where he doesn't have any value-contributing solutions where innovation is coming. While the rate of adoption may have slowed down, it doesn't mean new molecules and new innovation will not be adopted. It is just that cyclical nature. And as the aggression would come up in the commodity cycle and the agriculture sector, this would accelerate. That is our view. But it doesn't mean that we still see innovation is moving, but don't forget where the commodities or the generics had gone to the bottom of the pit when the markets hit back, where the innovation will still continue a steady pace. So on an average CAGR, you would appreciate that innovation is still continuing to do better. And on short-term or windows of cycles, if you cut and paste, yes, you could see the cycles and trends that you're talking about, which is what you call external dynamics, which play the game. Yeah?
Right. So thanks. That helps, and all the best.
Thank you very much. With this, we conclude today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for joining the call. And thank you, as always, for your support. And look forward to catching up with you over the next quarter. Thanks once again. Warm regards.
Thank you very much. On behalf of PI Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.